Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith. When famous celebrities' names are dragged into the mud, they sue for slander. But those who worry about their names are often careless in how they use God's name. Still, God holds His name in such high regard that He made a commandment that it not be taken in vain. From the Moody Church in Chicago, this is Running to Win with Dr. Erwin Lutzer, whose clear teaching helps us make it across the finish line. On today's broadcast, Pastor Lutzer continues his series on the Ten Commandments with part two of a message on the misuse of God's name. We've learned that we can misuse His name through careless vows and through careless speech.
Just think of the person who rolls the word God off his lips constantly, day in and day out, hour by hour, and isn't even conscious of the fact that he is doing it. How low can you think about God to use his name like that and not give it any thought? So you see, we can't get around it just because we say that we are doing it thoughtlessly. That certainly is using the name of the Lord your God in vain. No question about it. And what an insult to the Almighty to say, I'm doing it and I'm not even thinking about it. Even Marx was not an atheist. He believed in God, but he hated the God in whom he believed. And so he stood in opposition against God, but he had enough respect for God to know that at least he had to be stood up to. The person who flippantly uses the name of God doesn't even give God that much credit. Could I say parenthetically here that last night I decided to look in the dictionary. Did you know that the word G has many meanings, but one of the meanings is it is a euphemism for Jesus? You know, so there are people who say, ah, G. But one of the meanings is a euphemism. That means that instead of saying the real thing, you use a substitute that is a little softer. Then there's the word gosh. The word gosh has only one meaning, and that is a euphemism for God. So instead of saying God, some people say gosh, and they don't realize that that is just a substitute. It is a way of softening the hardness of saying God. Now, if you're guilty of saying that, you say, well, I didn't know that. All right, I'll accept your word for it, but guess what? You do now. You do now. Thou shalt not take the name of the Lord thy God in vain. Can be done by careless vows, can also be done by careless speech. I'd like to suggest that there's a third way that this can be done, and that is by a careless life. A careless life. What I mean by that is this, that if we identify ourselves with God, we are really standing along with God. We say that we believe in God, we trust God, we love God, we serve God. We are Christians. Then when we begin to live inconsistently with that, we not only take God's name in vain because of our own lives, but usually we cause others to do the same. Look at David, 2 Samuel 13. You need not turn to it. Well, I think maybe we should. I want you to see this in the text of Scripture, 2 Samuel chapter 13, because this is a very, very important passage. And it is indeed chapter 12. But the Bible says this, that when Nathan came to David, it's in here, I can tell you that much, it is in here. When Nathan came to David, he said, David, the Lord has taken away your sin. However, because by this deed you have given occasion to the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme, the child also that is born to you shall surely die. That's the verse. What God is saying is, he's saying, David, because you lived inconsistently with my name, you took my name, you are known as a man of God, and now because of your adultery and your murder, you are acting in a way that dishonors me. You are causing the enemies of the Lord to blaspheme. You know, if we had two pianos here, you hit one middle C, there would be another middle C that would resonate. And what he's saying is that your life has impact, and when you disobey God under the name and the authority of God, you cause others to drag the name of God into the dirt from the standpoint of humanity. You are causing them to blaspheme. Now, that's what can happen very easily. It's when we ourselves take the name of God and say that we are Christians and then cause others to blaspheme because of the way we live. Down in Texas, there's a seminary in Dallas, and I happen to have graduated from it many years ago, and since that time, there have been many other students, and I'd like you to listen to the story of one of those students who wrote these words. While working as a salesman for a large company, I met a girl named Liz, who was in charge of phone solicitation. She was an attractive young woman, but used profanity that would embarrass any sailor. Smoked one cigarette after another, and lied to the customers. One day she stopped me and asked, "You go to Dallas Seminary, don't you?" I was shocked. Then she really dropped the bomb. She said, "I guess you're surprised that I would know about the seminary? Well, I'm a Christian too. I go to a Bible church, and one of your professors is the pastor." By this time, he says, I was ready to be peeled off the floor. Then she said, "I guess you wonder why I don't act like a Christian?" He said, "I managed to, well, yes." She said, "The reason I don't act like a Christian is because of the bad witness I would be if these people knew that I was a Christian. It is better that they not know that I am a Christian." Well, you know, we're told in today's society you should always try to find some good in everybody. If you look long enough and hard enough, you'll find it. So we take our magnifying glass here, and let's take a look at Liz. There is something good about her. Yes, it's true that her conduct is despicable, and she might not even be a Christian, I mean, to talk like that. But there is one good thing about her. It is quite true that it would be a very poor testimony if the employees around her knew that she was a Christian. If she is, it is indeed much better that they not know. With that, we agree. She does have some insight. You see, if there's somebody here today and you lie and you don't tell the truth and you swear at work, don't tell people that you're a Christian. Help us. Don't say that I'm a Christian. And if they ask you where you go to church, if you're lying already anyway, add one more lie to your sin and say that, you just don't remember. Call it temporary amnesia. Say, sometime in the distant future, maybe in the next couple of years, it'll come to me. But just at this moment, I just can't seem to get a handle on it. I know that many of you are the victims of divorce, and you've gone through an awful lot of excruciating pain and guilt, and in no way do I want to add any to you. But I do want to quote the words of Charlie Tremendous Jones. Now, Charlie Tremendous Jones, he is a man who gives speeches to Christian businessmen on motivation. One day he was being interviewed on television, and he said something that I wouldn't say, but I quoted only because he had a point. He looked into the television camera and he said, "If any of you out there are trying or planning to get a divorce and you're a Christian," he said, "you could help the cause of Christ by telling your friends that you're an atheist." Now again, I wouldn't say that, but I'm quoting him. But you see, the point that he was trying to make is when we live inconsistently by the name of God, we actually cause the world to blaspheme. Now, it's true, of course, that sometimes we can minister to other people effectively simply by the way in which we respond to circumstances that are just as tragic as those experienced by the world. That's true. But the point is that we can dishonor the name of God. We can take the name of God in vain by saying, "I'm a Christian," and then live in such a way that it is inconsistent with the name of God. And we call his reputation into question. Now let me ask you a question today. How does God respond to taking his name in vain? Is this a little thing that he takes lightly? Well, now I do want you to turn to Leviticus chapter 24, and I even think I have the right passage this time. Leviticus chapter 24, where there's a very interesting experience that took place in the life of the children of Israel. Leviticus 24, verse 10, talks about an Israelite woman whose father was an Egyptian. And he went out among the sons of Israel, and the Israelite woman's son and a man of Israel struggled with each other in the camp. Just see the situation. They are in a fight. They're angry with each other. Verse 11, and the son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name. What name? My word, there is only one name, and that is the name of the Lord. The woman blasphemed, that is to say, the son of the Israelite woman blasphemed the name and cursed. So they brought him to Moses. Verse 12, and they put him in custody so that the command of the Lord might be made clear to them. Then the Lord spake to Moses, saying, bring the one who has cursed outside the camp, and let all who hear him lay their hands, all who heard him, lay their hands on his head, and then let all the congregation stone him. And you shall speak to the sons of Israel, saying, if anyone curses his God, then he shall bear his sin. Moreover, the one who blasphemes the name of the Lord shall surely be put to death. All the congregation shall certainly stone him. The alien, as well as the native, when he blasphemes the name, shall be put to death. You say, well, surely God has changed his mind about this. I mean, this was Old Testament. We live in the New Testament era. May I remind you that God has not changed his mind about this one iota, not one iota. The only reason that we don't do that today, as I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, is because in today's world, God has allowed it or designed it that the civil authorities are not responsible for inflicting the penalty. So today we do not stone people for all of these things, but I want you to know that it is absolutely unthinkable and blasphemous to think that God has mellowed throughout the centuries. He has not changed his mind about this. And today, whether it's in the city of Chicago or wherever you may be from, in office buildings and in cars and in various relationships, in factories and wherever the name of God comes out of people's mouths, thoughtlessly, cursing either in anger or flippantly, God is monitoring those situations, and the Bible says he will not hold him guiltless who takes his name in vain. No way. Has God changed his mind? He is just as insulted by it today as he was back then.
Well, this is Pastor Luther. That certainly is frightful, isn't it? But that's exactly what should draw us toward God's grace. That's one of the reasons that the law was given. It was to show us our tremendous need. I've written a book entitled Why Holiness Matters. It stresses the holiness of God, which I think is missing oftentimes, even in evangelical circles, but it also illustrates God's matchless grace. I think it will help you tremendously as you run the race of life. We'll see the relevance of the commandments and why it is we need Jesus. For a gift of any amount, we're making this book available for you. Remember the title, Why Holiness Matters, because it does.
You've just heard Erwin Lutzer with more of The Misuse of God's Name, a look at the third of the Ten Commandments. Next time, more teaching on the sanctity of the name of God. Eternity will reveal how faithful we were on earth. That's Why Holiness Matters, the title of a book by Pastor Lutzer that describes the holiness of God as expressed in the Ten Commandments. This book will be sent as our thank you for your gift of any amount to support the ministry of Running to Win. Just call us at 1-800-215-5001. That's 1-800-215-5001. Online, go to offerrtw.com. That's offerrtw.com. Or write to Running to Win, Moody Church, 1635 North LaSalle Boulevard, Chicago, Illinois, 60614. Running to Win is a ministry of the Moody Church.